this class will have the ability to compete for championships. It's the style of team, the speed that will develop and develop nicely. So we're proud. I think the coaching staff did a great job.
Les Miles, new head football coach at the University of Kansas, happy about the guys he signed yesterday, National Signing Day in college football. And we will get to K-State as well, coming up in just a little bit. Welcome to the Sports Ticket. But we begin local sports. Got some high school basketball on the radio tonight. We also have high school basketball locker room chats on top of that.
Yes, locker room chats will get things started this evening somewhere around 5:10. We'll talk with the coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas here this evening on Katy Country 94 and then also online at katycountry94.com. And if you ever miss those, again, they're always posted on our podcast at katycountry94.com as well. So that's what's coming up first. And then, as we mentioned, a high school basketball makeup game with St. John's Tipton and Lincoln tonight in Boyd, St. John's High School. And the Blue Jays and Leopards will tangle with girls pregame around 5:50. Tip off around 6, and the boys game to follow here on Katy Country 94 this evening. So that's a look at what's going on as far as our games are concerned here on the radio. There's also one other makeup game tonight, Southern Cloud at Natoma, and boys play here this evening. So that's the only other game that's going on basketball-wise. There's some wrestling as well this afternoon, NCAA League meet at Minneapolis. The boys will be competing there beginning at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And also the Lincoln Round Robin at 4, Osborne and Lincoln from our area competing here this afternoon also. So that's a look at what's going on there for the area events for today.
All right, Coach Chris, talking about the keys to victory if they can knock off St. John's Tipton tonight.
We have to play hard on defense and try to create some turnovers to create some offense. We haven't shot the ball real well from the outside this year, so we got to try to create some easy shots for us in transition somehow. But obviously St. John's presents a huge challenge with their height on the inside, and they have good shooters on the outside. So we got our work cut out for us on defense.
Keith Christine, head coach of the Blue Jays. They need to stay focused.
We have to be prepared. Again, we're not good enough to just show up and go through the motions to win the ball games. And the girls understand that, too, because we talk about that a whole lot, that we got to go out and execute just like we're playing, no matter who we're playing, like we're playing the one-ranked team in the state.
So Lincoln, St. John's Tipton tonight. Here on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Those are makeup games from earlier in the year. All that information available at ncksports.com. We have some local athletes that signed letters of intent yesterday to play at the next level.
Yeah, and we knew these commitments, but they've officially signed now, where Darnell Holloway from Osborne, the senior, has officially signed his letter of intent to compete at Fort Hays State University. Started at quarterback for Osborne over the past couple seasons, but with his 6'3", 195 frame, they're going to transition him to wide receiver at Fort Hays. And obviously with that kind of body size, that's obviously a pretty good idea probably if he can become a pretty good receiver, could have some success there at Fort Hays. Again, the offensive player of the year by Sports in Kansas in 8-man Division II this past year and helped the Bulldogs to 11-2, second place finish in 8-man Division II, first team All-State quarterback as well. Also, kind of a similar situation with Rock Hill senior Derek Gillett. He signed a letter of intent to compete and play at Benedictine. Benedictine, if you remember, is the NAIA runner-up this year, national runner-up. And Gillett's headed there, and like Holloway, played quarterback in high school, but at 6'3", 190, he's going to transition to wide receiver for the Ravens as well. He missed about half the season, but really came on in the playoffs and threw the ball well for Rock Hills in those two playoff games against Donovan West and Axtell, but hoping to advance and further his career in football at Benedictine coming up in the fall. So if you want to read more about both of those athletes, you can check out ncksports.com.
All right, don't look now, but Kansas State's alone atop the Big 12 in men's basketball because it was predictable. Baylor losing at Texas last night, 84-72, and Texas is not completely out of the race either. They've had a couple of good wins at home against Kansas and against Baylor, and K-State goes to Texas early next week, and K-State's got to go to Baylor this weekend, and Baylor now coming off a loss. It might not be a good equation for Kansas State. I think K-State's going to, I don't know, man. I think the whole recipe's there for them to lose at Baylor. Baylor lost.
Yeah.
K-State's coming off a high, beating Kansas. It's on the road. Baylor plays a lot of zone usually. They got more length probably than Kansas, especially on the perimeter. I think this would be a tough game for Kansas State. So if K-State would lose, they'd be 7-3. Baylor win, they'd be 7-3. Kansas, if they would win over Oklahoma State, which they should, then just like that, Kansas is a half game out of first. And Iowa State actually could be in the lead. If they would win this weekend, be 8-3. They'd be in first place by half a game. So it's pretty interesting. Last night, TCU had a game-winning shot at the buzzer to beat Oklahoma State 70-68. That was a much-needed win for TCU. And we mentioned Texas beat Baylor by 12. And women's basketball last night, been a good 24 to 48 hours for Kansas State versus Kansas. K-State women win in overtime. Peyton Williams has shot near the end of regulation, the force OT, and then K-State dominates overtime. 72 to 62 was that final. So K-State women avenge a loss earlier in the year to Kansas in Big 12 women's hoops. Interesting story. You know, I didn't think Bob Stoops would come back and coach. I really didn't. Except maybe high school, you know, and coach kids. And maybe he won't go through with this because it's not till 2020. And there is a new football league, the American Alliance Football League, that's starting this
weekend.
Yeah,
Alliance of American Football,
which I'm not interested in. But anyway, and then they're going to relaunch the XFL Spring Professional League next year. So now we're going to have two leagues at the same time after the NFL is over. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I know people love football, but I don't know, man. Anyway,
one of those is not going to keep going. No, probably both of them eventually will.
This
not
has
keep
happened
going.
Over time, yeah. And it continues to fail. But the Dallas XFL franchise will be naming former Oklahoma head football coach Bob Stoops as their team's first head coach. They're going to announce that today. In addition to his on-field duties, he'll also serve as the team's general manager. Stoops appeared to confirm this to News 9's Dean Blevins. However, an on-the-record story posted by News 9 early Wednesday evening was pulled from the website and replaced with another in which Blevins simply confirms the news, according to the source who would know best. This is interesting. I'm stunned that Bob Stoops, not that he'd come back and coach, although I thought he was going to be done unless he coaches, you know, high school or kids that he knows or grandkids or whatever, his own kids. But the XFL, I mean, he could go back and play. He probably doesn't want to be anywhere but Oklahoma for college. While pros, he had all kinds of opportunities to take pro jobs. Of course, maybe the timing wasn't right. You don't think if he threw his hat in there and said, hey, I'm interested in being the Browns head coach when they had an opening?
Yeah.
You don't think he'd been considered? Maybe he did throw his hat out there. I don't know. But this is a weird combination. Dallas, I know it'd be nearby where he lives, but still, it's Dallas, XFL. It just doesn't seem like it's just a peculiar fit.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe he just feels like there's not a whole lot of pressure there.
Yeah, that's the only thing
since
I come up with.
It's just, you know, it's a new league.
Yeah.
You're not really going to be judged about a whole lot. Because you're not getting the same type of players that the NFL is either. So
yeah.
Then you're competing with another league, too. So you're not getting at the same time. So you're not getting all the same amount of players. And maybe he feels like it's closer to a college-type deal where he's going to be teaching kids still and all that. I don't know.
Right. But
that's the only thing I can think of is there's not a whole lot of pressure involved with it.
Well, maybe
and
so.
And you're the face of the league at this point now
right. By
doing that.
Exactly. Okay, so Major League Baseball with some interesting rule changes that have been proposed. Major League Baseball with these rule changes, and I think they're very interesting rule changes for Major League Baseball. Here are some of the suggested rule changes. A 3-batter minimum for pitchers. I'm all for that. That would eliminate so many pitching changes. I've always been annoyed by a guy comes in and faces 1 batter, and that's that. He throws 1 pitch.
Yeah.
Then you have another guy come in and 8 warm-up pitches. It slows the game down. I'm all for that. I think it'd really make managers adjust, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. A universal designated hitter. The players' union wants it. The players want it. They want a DH in both leagues. If it happens, I think that's going to happen sooner than later.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen this season. But they're saying that technically this could happen this season, all this stuff. But,
yeah.
But I don't think so. A single trade deadline before the All-Star break. Which I think that's interesting.
Get rid of the non-waiver one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'd be interesting. You also are moving up the trade deadline. A 20-second pitch clock, I think that's unrealistic. I'd love to see it, but, I mean, we can't even do 30, so
they
why would we do 20?
On that, yeah, that's not.
The expansion of rosters to 26 instead of 25 with a 12-pitcher maximum, I like that idea. Because I think many times you get stuck with an extra guy doesn't hurt, and then but make it a 12-pitcher maximum so you don't stockpile a whole bunch of pitchers. I like that. Draft advantages for winning teams and penalties for losing teams. Very vague. I don't know how you're going to determine that. That would be the rich getting richer, in my opinion.
Yeah, that kind of goes against everything that you would want a draft to be.
Right.
For every other league that you're playing in.
Right. A study to lower the mound, which I don't think we need to. A rule that would allow two-sport amateurs to sign major league contracts. Now, that's Kyler Murray. That's what you're thinking about right there. Many of those self-evident in their meaning, but if you aren't, the single trade deadline would force teams to engage more in the winter with no chance to add to their roster externally once the first half ended. And that would speed up maybe some things with free agency because Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are not signed yet, and it's February the 7th. Once again, the free agent market basically crawling along as quickly as a turtle trying to cross the road. And, of course, we talk about the amateur situation, and that would be the Kyler Murray situation. The union would like for teams to be able to offer two-sport athletes a big league as a means of sweetening the pot, so a big league contract. So we shall see. Unclear how many, if any, of the above suggestions that we mentioned would be installed either this season or if ever. I think you certainly – my opinion is the expansion roster is 26. I think that's probably the first one that would be enacted. I think the next one would be the DA or DH, maybe the trade deadline. All the others, I don't really see happening.
Yeah.
Really don't. But hey, it's okay to propose.
You said
it.
More about that trade deadline. I don't know about that.
Be kind of early.
A long season.
Kind of be early.
And to not have the ability to make some moves if you
after
have some injuries
break.
Or something, yeah. and you're fighting for a championship.
Well, but you'll have one more man in your roster. It gives you more flexibility.
Yeah, that's
injuries
true.
Too.
It's true. But
yeah,
I think it. I don't mind the one trade deadline idea.
Yeah.
But if I was going to move and have just one trade deadline, I'd probably put it with the non-waiver deadline where that is.
Yeah, which is the end of August.
Yeah.
I just put it August 1. I just put
yeah,
it, which is the same
too.
Thing. It's July 1. Or extend it, August 15th, whatever the case may be. Make
yeah.
that the
put it in the middle, yeah.
Put it all together in one on August 15th. Move up the non-waiver 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
I think that's
that.
A little bit early. Just I mean, because the season's so long.
I agree.
You have some injuries and things like that.
Right.
And now you're just because – mm-hmm. You had a couple injuries. You're out of the race because you can't make any moves anymore.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to happen. That's why I didn't spend a lot of time
exactly.
on it either. All right, signing day was yesterday. We talked about some locals that are signing to play football at the next level. KU, we heard from Les Miles, pretty excited about this class. Of course he will be. He could have drafted 15 trees and 4 branches, and he would have been excited because that's what his job is to get people excited about the program and sell tickets. But they did get a 4-star prospect out of Texas, a linebacker, Stephen Parker. And then did you see Gavin Potter, how he revealed his see, K-State fans would love it if that happened for them the other way around.
But I'm then, not even but shaking then, my head as a K-State fan. It's just like he made like half the Big 12 mad with one press conference.
Which he was for. He seems to have a chip on his shoulder.
Oh, definitely. There's no doubt about
if
that.
If you don't know what happened, he's a linebacker in Broken Arrow High School in Oklahoma, and some thought Oklahoma State would get him. Then K-State, it looked like he was going to K-State. So he's wearing a K-State sweatshirt at his signing day yesterday. He took it off. Then he was wearing a Texas Tech shirt. He took that off, and he had KU painted on his chest. And then he had I'm a Jayhawk on the back of his back. And he revealed he's going to KU. And then they asked him about playing against Oklahoma State. And he said, well, they're basically going to regret not having me, and I'm going to stick it to them. That's what he – I'm like, wow. Well, this kid's motivated.
Yeah, he
that's
is.
The type of guy
no
you want
that.
To play.
Well,
he's motivated.
Yeah.
I like it. I do like it. That's a good one for Kansas, I think. And you took it away from K-State.
Yeah.
So that's a win-win for KU. Of course, we'll get to K-State in a moment. They've got a guy that KU you would have thought would have got that didn't. They got a 3-star running back from Texas, another running back from Blue Valley North there in Kansas City. In all, they had 20 signees. They got 3 quarterbacks. And they seem to be happy with what they got. And they do have some guys that certainly stand out. So – Les Miles, no question, it helped. They got a kid from Alabama Prep Academy that's coming in. They got a cornerback from a 3-star who got offers from Miami, South Florida, Ole Miss. He's going to KU. They land a former Michigan recruit. Let's see what else we got here. Got some kids from Dallas. And then, of course, I mentioned Gavin Potter who flipped his commitment from K-State to KU. That's why verbal commitments mean nothing. And KU had 3 quarterbacks. They signed. We know the McVitie kid, the junior college transfer. And then they also picked up a kid that they liked from North Carolina, 6'2" prep quarterback Jordan Medley, who didn't have any rivals, stars placed on him yet, but he was kind of late on the radar, but people really liked him. So he has a lot of speed. 4.5 40 at quarterback would be pretty quick.
Yeah.
So KU likes what they got. Everybody's going to say they love what they got because that's National Signing Day. Todd sent me a text. Enough about basketball. Let's talk about signing day. No, I'm not going to ever spend a lot of time on National Signing Day. I mean, why don't we go ahead and spend time on peewee football and who drafted who, and then let's start prognosticating who's going to be good in junior high.
Yeah.
I mean, where does it end? I still want to see a service that goes back and breaks down how far off all these recruiting services were with their star athletes.
Yeah.
I always use the example. Colin Klein, 2-star. Dane Crist, 5-star. How'd that turn out? So let's not sit here and act like every 4- and 5-star guy is going to be a superstar.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, anybody Alabama recruits instantly goes from a 2-star to a 4-star, which, of course, Alabama has the best recruiting class in the country, according to all the pundits who don't even bother. They just automatically say, Nick Saban, Alabama. I'll put them at number one, and we'll start figuring out from there. They don't even bother. It's just, they got the most stars. Yeah, you got the most stars because you automatically upgrade them. If KU and K-State's looking at one kid, if they're looking at Dusty Dynas and he's a 2-star athlete or a 3-star, and all of a sudden Alabama comes in late, I guarantee you he goes up at least 1-star.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's Alabama. That's what the joke of the system is. But people get excited about it. Chris Kleiman talks about his K-State recruiting class they signed yesterday. What do you know? He's excited about it as well.
Hit a number of different areas. I think the biggest thing that we were looking for in the second half of the signing period was to continue to shore up our skill positions as well as the D-tackle position. And the one thing that, talking as the staff this afternoon, we talked was the amount of speed that we have in this class. And that was something that we went out and tried to make sure that we were able to hit those things as far as getting the fast kids, whether it's a running back, whether it's a DB, wide receiver, whatever it may be, because they can play a lot of different things and they can be really versatile.
Win the dang day. They did yesterday, or they feel they did. 2019 K-State signing class features a pair of FBS transfers, former Ball State running back James Gilbert to New Mexico safety Marcus Hayes. Got some community college transfers in Jonathan Alexander and Ty Zentner. 23 signees yesterday, 4 transfers. They got a high school quarterback, Jaron Lewis, who's currently enrolled at K-State and participating in spring practices. So a total of 12 all players on offense, 10 on defense, and then Zentner is a punter and kicker. That's the class of 2019 for Kansas State University. So everybody get excited or not. Doesn't matter to me. But it is exciting for the kids when they sign and move on to the next level. But as Dusty said earlier, you got kids that were playing quarterback, running back, now are going to be wide receivers, defensive backs, linebackers, D-tackles eventually, things like that. Played in high school, you're probably not playing at college because not everybody can play quarterback or running back when they go to college.
Skill positions, you've got to be like a elite level.
Yes.
And you're a league in high school and your state class in high school to even think about playing the same position in college.
You also better be ready to work a lot harder than in high school. And that's no knock on high school because they work hard, but now you're just an everyday Joe now. You're not the stud. You are a regular Joe now.
It's just math. There's one quarterback on the field. There's 4 cornerbacks and defensive backs and safeties at any given time.
Yes.
So they need you as an athlete, but they need you to be able to play different positions.
What did Dick Vermeil say about Larry Johnson? It's time to put your big boy pants on. That's kind of what happened now. When you go from high school to college, if you think you're just going to show up and practice and hit the weight room a little bit earlier in the day, no. This is a 12-month-a-year commitment. It is. And if you don't you aren't going to be playing more likely unless you're just a freak of nature. And, of course, everybody thinks they're a freak of nature. And then they go to college and like, oh, my God, I'm like maybe a low man on totem pole or a middle of the pack. You got to put in the work. You haven't made it yet. You got there. That's awesome. You got a scholarship. That's great for education. But in order to maintain that scholarship, and if you want to play, you're going to have to put in the time and the work. And if these kids realize that, they're going to do fine. If they don't, rude awakening.